J.C. Corcoran Podcast.
Welcome, welcome to CBS Mornings, a day after Election Day. America has decided. I'm Gayle King.
I'm Nate Burleson.
And I'm Vladimir Dutier.
Tony's still on the road in Florida, heading up our coverage there. Let's go to today's eye-opener. It's your world in 90 seconds. Republicans still hope to take control of Congress, but a red wave failed to materialize as Democrats do much better than expected.
Clearly, Republicans overread the data and overshot their expectations.
We're in Georgia, where a contentious race could be headed to a runoff. Why that seat could determine which party takes control of the Senate.
We're going to have received more votes than my opponent. We know that.
And Florida Governor Ron DeSantis wins big, what it could mean for Donald Trump in 2024.
Thank you for a historic.
Kathy Hochul becomes the first woman ever elected governor of the state of New York.
Maryland just made history. Democrat Wes Moore will become the state's first black governor.
All year long, we've been waiting to find out if Republicans will take control of Congress and stop President Biden's agenda, or if Democrats will keep control of Congress and somehow stop Biden's agenda.
So we're primarily focused on control of the House and the Senate. The Republicans only need a net gain of one seat in the Senate and five seats in the House. Don't know what's going to happen, but here's what we do know. There are two possible outcomes tonight. Either the Democrats will get more votes and keep the Congress, or the Democrats will get more votes and lose the Congress. That's the way our government works.
This was not the night most Republicans expected their hoped for big red wave that never materialized.
No, I'm just getting warmed up.
Happy to see you again.
Don't be nervous. Don't be rocky. You're a teenage guest is jockey now.
And let me begin by wishing you a beautiful look.
Did that voice inside you say, I've heard it all before? It's like deja vu all over again.
Now you know why I play that song every day. It's like deja vu all over again. John Fogerty immortalizing the words of Yogi Berra, who had already immortalized them in speech, and John Fogerty coming along and doing it in song. How you doing, kids? This is JC on the line. Yeah, I'm a little sleep deprived or depraved, whichever one you choose. Just up really, really late last night trying to watch the returns, and then I realized we're not going to really know anything in some cases for another couple of days. So I went to bed, and then I have this cat. We have two cats, and Victor is a skinny mini, and then Louis is the size of a Prius. Now, in his defense, he's got really bad diabetes. We have to give him special food, and we have to give him a shot twice a day, give him insulin. I pick up these needles, a box of hypodermic needles, every month from the drugstore, and I always get this look like, what are you doing with all these needles, dude? It's like, take it easy. I'm not a smack freak, okay? It's for my fucking cat. And with the time change, and this is where you're becoming familiarized, I believe, by this time with the heresy of this extra hour of sleep bullshit they tell you with regard to daylight saving. Oh, you get an extra hour of sleep. No, you don't. No, you don't. Because now you wake up at like 4 or 5 in the morning wide awake because your body clock is going off and it doesn't care what the clock on the wall says. And it's not just humans, it's animals. Because the first thing that we do is we feed the cats every morning. So now it's like 4:45. And if you've ever had a cat, you know, cats have different kinds of voices for different situations. You just get a meow when it's like, hello, I'm communicating with you. But you can also get that. And that's what this cat does every morning at 4:45 now. It just starts screaming like somebody's putting cigarettes out in his forehead. So we're dealing with that right now. So I guess I've had, what, about 3.5 hours of sleep. So that might not be the only flub I make today. Sorry about that. It's like Warren Zevon said, I'll sleep when I'm dead. Before we start mopping up on last night, and there's really little point in doing that anyhow, because by the time you listen to this podcast, you know, some of these races may have already been decided. I'll get to that in a minute. I think that the greatest concern now that the election is over for people in St. Louis is what on earth is going on with the St. Louis Blues? What? This is 8 straight losses now, and they look listless. They just don't look right. And you're looking at the chief going, hey, chief, when's this going to be over, Jack? You know? And Doug Armstrong absolutely flat out insists that Coach Berube's job is not out on the line. Of course, we've seen and heard that before. 24 hours later, they whack the guy. And I don't know why they do that. No, our complete support is behind Coach Berube. Oh, no, don't even start with that. I don't know what they get out of that. It would be refreshing if a general manager someday said, yeah, you're right. We might have to look at making a change. Maybe that shakes everybody up a little bit. I don't know. Because, you know, while Armstrong is pledging his allegiance to the chief, you're looking at it going, dude, why don't you just, that's not what you think. Of course you're thinking about it. Why don't you say it? The interesting thing about all of this is that I don't care what season it is. I don't start watching hockey until after the Super Bowl. Oh, you know, if the game's on and I'm not doing anything, I'll watch a little bit. But it's just hard to take any of this seriously. There's no sense of urgency. You're just sort of, the game is just sort of on. But, you know, baseball just ended a couple of days ago. And you got a football game on Sunday, Monday, and Thursday. You've got college football for people who like that. Then you have what is arguably, you know, the marquee sporting event of the year every year, and that's in the month of January when you have those football games. And, you know, those wild card games, boy, do I enjoy those, because those are those teams that are really, really jacked up because they just barely get in. And so they're, you know, really desperate. You get these guys flying through the air on special teams, you know, and kickoffs and punts and stuff like that. So I really enjoy that. And then you got the Super Bowl, and then you start watching hockey while you're waiting for pitchers and catchers to report to Jupiter, Florida in, what is it, like 97 days now. I told you a long time ago, my whole life, going all the way back to when I was just a kid, was always about babes, broadcasting, and baseball. And not always necessarily in that order. The other big story is going to be weather. Temperatures approaching 80 degrees today and again tomorrow. Saturday's high across the lovely Gateway City, 39 above zero. Have a nice day. All right, so America did not buy into as much of the bullshit as a lot of people were expecting. This is going to be a story that will follow. A lot of people, I'm sure, are going to be talking about the flaws now in our system of polling. And when I'm talking about polling, I'm not talking about the voting yesterday. I'm talking about the guys who take the polls and tell us where each individual candidate is in terms of popularity, likely to be elected, and stuff like that. And these numbers just are not working very well. A new poll found that 1 in 7 Americans never tell anybody who they voted for, including friends and family. 1 out of 7. 14% said never. 17% said rarely. It's almost 1 in 3 people who don't like talking about it or refuse to. Meanwhile, 35% of us would talk openly about it. Everyone else said it depends. Independents, most likely to say they don't like revealing who they cast votes for. 37% said they rarely or never do. And here's another stat that was sort of interesting. Younger voters don't think anyone really cares if they voted yesterday or not. People were asked what their friends and family would think if they found out they didn't vote, and only 29% of people under the age of 30 think they should be shamed for it. 26% think their friends and family would actually approve of them not voting. Another 26% said they wouldn't care either way. Where are they getting that attitude? 26% say their friends and family would approve of them not voting? I think there's a medical term. I remember reading something, I think it was in Psychology Today, that I read a long time ago that described that phenomenon in a person's mind who doesn't vote and then thinks they should be praised for it. The term was, let me see if I can remember. Oh, yeah, yeah. Fucked in the head. And I've saved the best for last. Legal pot in the state of Missouri. Dave Peel in the Lower East End here on the J.C. Corcoran podcast here for the, I don't think I dated this when I started out. Wednesday, November 9th, 2022. There. Now we know what day it is. All right. I think this thing kicks in as early as next month, if I'm not mistaken. And yeah, recreational pot is going to be available. It was, you know, it was on the ballot in four states. Two of them turned it down, including Arkansas and South Dakota. And I love CNN last night. It is 6:45 last night on CNN. 6:45. And the crawl along the bottom of the screen says, these races are too early to call. That could possibly be because the next slide that came up said, polls still open in 16 states. Yeah. Yeah, it's a little early to call considering 16 states have people still voting. And then on Channel 4 last night, they tried to play it like the big guys, okay? They tried to play it like the big guys because you go to the big 24-hour news channels and they got those giant 75-inch TV monitors and the guy stands there and, you know, points this out and then this map comes up and then they can widen it out that they could zoom in and then, you know, they're showing you all this stuff and they really look adept. I would say like guys like Steve Kornacki on MSNBC, John King actually does a pretty good job on CNN with that whole thing. So Channel 4 tried it last night with Paige Halsey.
I want to get to one more thing before I let you go. Just a little bit more insight as far as what voters are thinking and feeling as they vote for the U.S. Senate candidate. This showing us that 80, excuse me, let me get to Missouri. You know what? I'll send it back to you guys when we get this sorted out. We will give you that updated information here. As this screen just crashed, so we have to get back into our data. Corey Smith, we'll bring that to you when we can.
Yeah, but as Paige explained, really important to know where those votes are coming from at this point. And bottom line, they got a lot of counting to do. We're early in the night for these races.
And let me add, our IT guy has just been fired. I'll tell you what I miss. I miss Dan Rather on election night. Remember he used to just sit there and chonk like a guy in a retirement home, just sort of sitting there in the lounge watching the TV on election night?
We could be in for a long time with the Senate battle as tight as a Botox smile. Two hands worth of white knucklers still hanging ten. We can tell you that race is it's crackling like a hickory fire. What the situation as regards the Senate is they're sort of, they got first in goal from about 4 yards out. And they have not yet scored with the Senate, but they're about first and goal from 4 or 5 yards out. They've got a very, very good chance. Would or would not it be too strong to say that this night has been the Bushification of America?
You could say that.
Well, I'd rather you said it, but there's a situation somewhat like the cat that finds a mouse in the milk. Unexpected, but very much appreciated. If the Democrats can't win this one, it's probably sayonara. Adios, say goodbye.
So here's what Daryl Hammond and the guys at Saturday Night Live did after the election 2 years ago, and then we'll play it last night.
In Phoenix, the Suns lead the Heat from Miami by the score of 64-57 in the third quarter. CBS News now projects that the Phoenix Suns have won this game. When all the results are in, the Suns will take this game and the Heat will take it where the sun don't shine. And, buddy, they're going to take it hard. Now, in Portland, where the men catch fish and the fish catch herpes. The Houston Rockets lead the Trailblazers 31-28 nearing the end of the first quarter. At this moment, CBS News holds this game is too close to call. Too close at the moment. Now, One of the other networks might be calling these games earlier, but trust me, folks, some of their calls are shakier than Ted Kennedy in a whorehouse with a full bar. When CBS News calls this game, you can bet your mother's maxi pad that we've called the winner.
The great Daryl Hammond of Saturday Night Live doing this, Dan Rather. Just excellent stuff. Bet your mother's maxi pad. Oh, God. All right. Now, this morning, all the television news operations on a local level, like, you know, 2, 4, and 5 in St. Louis, know that people are getting up because they couldn't stay up all night to try to find out what was going on. And in fact, you could have stayed up all night and you still wouldn't know because the votes were still being counted. So people went to bed and they know at the TV stations that people are going to get up in the morning, run to the TV, turn on, try to find out everything that happened while they were asleep. And so what do you do? You bring out your heaviest hitters, political leaders from across the state, campaign managers, people who have a history of political involvement in the state of Missouri, Washington University and St. Louis University law school professors. Bring them in. Or, in the case of Channel 4, Laura Hediger.
In that case, Democrats would have a slight edge because, of course, Vice President Kamala Harris would have the tie-breaking vote. Vice President Kamala Harris.
She's only the first vice president of the female persuasion to sit in that office in the history of America. Maybe it's time to learn how to pronounce her name correctly. Then again, Dan McLaughlin has been sitting up in the broadcast booth at Busch Stadium mispronouncing Rick Ankiel's name for 20 years. It's not Ankiel. It's Ankiel. I've spoken to Dan about it. He doesn't care. Kamala. By the way, how much bigger is John Hancock going to get? He's going to be developing his own gravitational pull pretty soon. Every time I see him on TV, most of the time he's on radio, but he's on television last night. They're shooting him with a wide-angle lens to make sure they get all of him in the shot. Well, you know, when you start a whisper campaign that leads to the suicide of a political candidate, that's exhausting. Makes you hungry. So, anyhow, all you have to do is look at these maps, and you look at the red, and you look at the blue, and it is pretty clear that we are living in a city versus country environment in the great land in which we live. And some inexperienced political viewers make the mistake of looking at all that red on the map and just get the incorrect impression that like 90% of the country votes Republican. You have to remember that it's not states that vote, it's people that vote. You got states all over the country that maybe have like a 49 to 47% split, like 49% Republican voters, 48% Democratic voters. But on the map, the state shows up red, and that could be very misleading, obviously. But as I said, as we sit here at, you know, 7:30 in the morning here on Wednesday, November 9th, we don't even know what the outcome of a lot of these things are. It does look like Georgia is headed for a runoff. And if you're not concerned that enough people in the state of Georgia voted for Herschel Walker, even if he ends up not winning in the runoff next month, if you're not concerned that people actually went into the voting booths yesterday and said, yeah, Herschel Walker, he's our guy. If you're not concerned about that, we're coming at this from two different sides. All right, Black Panther, Wakanda Forever, has already sold $45 million in advance tickets, and that could reach $60 million to $65 million in that range somewhere by the end of the week. Some experts think that this movie could make up to $200 million this weekend. I will see a screening of that movie tonight, and I'll have a full report on your desk tomorrow. I did talk to somebody last night who saw a screening a couple of days ago, wasn't really that impressed, said the beginning and the ending were great, but the middle was a little bit slow and a little bit convoluted. It doesn't look like that's going to bother anybody. Casey Anthony, remember her? She was the semi-hot single mom down in Florida who chopped up her three-year-old daughter and put her in a suitcase and left her in a swamp. And the Peacock Network says, hey, that would make a good TV show. So Casey Anthony will speak on camera for the first time in a three-part series called Casey Anthony, Where the Truth Lies, November 29th. And by the way, I just saw a picture of her. She's not semi-hot anymore. Judge Judy says, I love this story. Judge Judy says Justin Bieber was, and this is a quote, scared to death of her back in 2014 when they were neighbors. She said he would pay his front door monitors to let him know when she was around so they wouldn't run into each other. Why? Justin Bieber was scared of Judge Judy? I'm not 100% sure. The 56th annual Country Music Awards tonight. Another country music. Well, yeah, it's been a week, so I guess you got to get another one on. Also, the fifth season finale of The Handmaid's Tale on Hulu tonight. Late night, Octavia Spencer. I'm with Jimmy Fallon. Jason Momoa. I'm with Kimmel. Colbert's got Rose McIver. James Corden, Christoph Waltz, one of the greatest actors I've ever seen perform. Now, that's a repeat, but in case you missed it, you'll be able to see that one. And Steve Kornacki, by the time they record that show late this afternoon, we may have more outcome detail that Kornacki can go into. Those are always interesting conversations, though. After, you know, they do the exit polling, and you find out why people did what they did. Turns out the abortion issue, incidentally, was much higher a concern than the pollsters had led people to believe. It was right behind inflation in most places. Elon Musk, I'm getting so tired of this guy already, considering putting Twitter behind a paywall or adding a gray check mark on top of the blue check mark, or who knows? Conan O'Brien launching his own SiriusXM channel called Team Coco Radio. It launches November 15th on Channel 106. Well, Conan has tried everything. He's tried writing on Saturday Night Live and The Simpsons. He's tried hosting a network show. He's tried hosting a cable show. That's when you say, satellite radio, maybe? Kiki Palmer says she likes to watch lesbian porn, and she's submissive in the bedroom. This being revealed on the latest episode of Horrible Decisions, which is spelled W-H-O-R-E. That's actually pretty funny. Horrible Decisions. It's a podcast that you can look for. Sean Penn met with Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky yesterday and loaned him his Oscar. The trailer now is out for The Whale. This is the movie that's getting Brendan Fraser standing ovations for his comeback role as a 600-pound teacher. They say this movie is incredible, and they've been showing it at film fests out in the mountains and everything, and they're like, you're not going to believe this. Brendan Fraser has been a punchline for like the last 15 years or so. And look, when they say comeback, they're not kidding in this particular case, from what I hear. I'm hoping to get an invitation to see that movie any day now. Anne Hathaway and Salma Hayek going to co-star in an action comedy called Seesaw Monster. Peter Gabriel announcing his first solo tour in 9 years. Now, he's doing Europe the whole first part of next year, and then presumably somewhere at the tail end of that, he's going to go out in the United States. No dates or locations or anything like that. But they've just let us know he's going to do it. And that's all we know right now. Original Nazareth singer Dan McCafferty passed away. He was 76. Birthdays today, Nikki Blonsky, that would be your Tracy Turnblad in the 2007 version of Hairspray, 34 today. God, she was young when she starred in that role. Nick Lachey has been in TV shows. He's been in movies. He's been in boy bands. But the most impressive thing he's ever been in, of course, Jessica Simpson. Good morning, everybody. Nick Lachey, 49 today. The Incredible Hulk, Lou Ferrigno, who I sat next to in first class on a flight to Los Angeles years ago. He was very, very nice. And at the end of the flight, I took out my tape recorder. I gave him a script and said, can you read this ID? We used to have stars do that all the time. Hi, this is Jay Leno. And if you want an all-expenses beating for two in East St. Louis, listen to details here with JC. But because he's deaf or hearing impaired, he would do things phonetically. So I think I played it once just to play it. And then I realized this is sort of mean and there was no reason to be mean about this. But he said, hello, St. Louis, because apparently he was reading it, you know, phonetically the way they teach you to read when you're deaf. So instead of St. Louis, it came out St. Louis. And I just didn't play it anymore. You know, he almost got shot in a Costco parking lot about 15 years ago. He's out there in Southern California somewhere, you know, doing his shopping. Goes out to his car with a big shopping cart full of toilet paper and cat litter and stuff like that. And some gunfight breaks out, and I guess he had to dive behind a car, almost got caught in the crossfire. 61 years ago today, 1961, the PGA eliminated its Caucasians only rule. Well, that was nice of them. 1961. I was just telling somebody a story yesterday. I was on the phone with a guy telling how in 1985, somebody at NBC had this idea, hey, let's do our 4th of July version of the Today Show right on the Arch Grounds, right underneath the arch. What an impressive shot that will be for the rest of the country. And so, sure enough, there was the hosts, you know, Katie Couric and, that was before Katie Couric's time. Who would it have been? It was the female at that time. Was it Jane Pauley, maybe? Well, anyhow, but also Brian Gumbel. And the show is over, and there's a little reception that I attended, and I talked with Brian for a couple of minutes. And the next thing I heard was a couple of days later, because apparently somebody in St. Louis who was connected with, I don't know, the fair or something like that, said, hey, we have this country club out here, and would you like to go play golf? We know you're an avid golfer. He's like, boom, let's go. So he's out on the third tee of Old Warson Country Club when one of their fine club members had him pulled right off the golf course. Sorry, dude. Around here, we don't really care if you're on TV. This is old money. It was something like 87 members at Old Warson Country Club back then. And they had it on the sign, too. You'd drive by on Clayton Road, and you could see 87 members. Like, okay, we get the idea. It's exclusive. I remember talking to Dan Dierdorf about that, and he told me the name of the guy, but I didn't recognize the name, and then I didn't remember it. Caucasians only rule. We can't have black people playing golf. What would happen then? We found out, didn't we? Tiger Woods happened. 55 years ago today, 1967, Rolling Stone put out its first issue. John Lennon on the cover and a free Roach clip inside. Billy Joel's album Piano Man released on this date, 1973. The Berlin Wall started coming down on this date, 1989. George W. Bush awarded Muhammad Ali the Presidential Medal of Freedom, along with Aretha Franklin, Carol Burnett, and Jack Nicklaus, golf legend. That was when the Presidential Medal of Freedom meant something, before Trump gave it to Rush Limbaugh. And it was 16 years ago today, 2006. Ed Bradley from 60 Minutes died of leukemia. He was 65. Richard Dreyfuss was in St. Louis on this date back in 1998, staying at the Ritz-Carlton. I think he was in town for the Jewish Book Fair, if I'm not mistaken. I got a chance to go up and talk to him, and of course, could have talked to him about Close Encounters, could have talked to him about the Goodbye Girl, but no, you get Richard Dreyfuss, and you got a couple of minutes, you go straight for the big one.
The A-List Interview with JC and the Morning Show Graham.
Actor Richard Dreyfuss on the reports of chaos on the set of Jaws.
Just tell me a little bit about what you remember pertaining to that experience, and did you at some point during that summer see your life passing before your eyes?
I actually had a great time because I was, in a sense, a very interested and happily entertained observer. But it was a huge film that was started without a script, without a cast, and without a shark.
It's pretty bad if you don't even have the shark.
Then everything else, it's like falling down a flight of stairs. Bum, 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 bum.
I found that very amusing for some reason. All right. Also, U2 at the Dome on this date back in 1997. And the year was 1984. And a gal from St. Louis who had been a Playboy centerfold, I believe it was July 82, Ruth Guerry, one of the sweetest gals I've ever met in St. Louis, and a stunning figure, and a couple of very good photographers who shot a lot of pictures of her in black and white. And in fact, there was one particular poster that they shot called Ruthless. And I really think that that is where the underboob sensation began. Because prior to that point, you know, whenever you were going to show a woman with big boobs, you know, you always went for the cleavage. And in this particular case, they were like, what if we did this the other way around? We cover up the cleavage with something, but we show a big section of underboob. And people went nuts. First of all, everybody wanted the poster. That was number one. And also people who sort of like live their lives in the three-point stance, just ready to pounce on anybody who does something they don't like, they really went crazy over this whole underboob thing. And it's like, What's the problem there, Karen? There's hundreds of millions of pictures of women with cleavage going all the way back to the beginning of time, and now we just turn it around a little bit and show the bottom part of the boob, and you can't handle it? Anyhow, they Ruth shows up at the radio station on this date in 1984 with a 7-foot tall wall hanging of that poster, framed and everything. I had that up on my brick fireplace in my house in Chesterfield for a long time until I came to the conclusion that women who were visiting me, shall we say, might have been a little bit intimidated. You know, it'd be like a guy who thought he was pretty well endowed walking around in the showers after a workout or something, and all of a sudden Peter North walks in. You're like, I can't compete with that. So I took it down, and then when I got married, somehow it disappeared. And so here we are on the morning after the election, and sun still came up. People are still making breakfast and waking up and getting ready to go to school, getting ready to go to work. It looks like this whole thing is going to be extended until the first week of December when they have the runoff in Georgia that will, in all likelihood, determine which party runs the Senate. But then, as I said, after that, I'm really going to pull away from the politics thing and probably do almost none. And my TV during the day will not be on the 24-hour news channels. I've had it. Going into political rehab, okay? But like I said, the world keeps spinning. We, as a nation, continue to be fascinated by stupid shit that celebrities do. Fans are concerned about Madonna's increasingly sexual social media posts. It's so bad, even Britney Spears is complaining. And with that, the J.C. Corcoran Podcast for Wednesday, November 9th, 2022 is in the can. We're here every weekday morning right about this time. Absolutely free. Please spread the word. You can catch me on email at jc@jcontheline.com. Facebook the Showgram with JC Corcoran. Have a great day. Watch out. The cold air is coming in about 72 hours. And in the meantime, we've beaten this one to death. Have a good one. See you later. Bye.
The JC Corcoran Podcast.